Thanks, ladies, for having me here today. Appreciate that. Christmas is quite a time, but it exposes a lot of stuff. Basically, it exposes the heart and mind of our culture. This thing has only a small range in here. It means I'm going to stand right here. But, you know, like last Friday. Last Friday was Black Friday. And, of course, that's part of our culture. Basically, what it does is it helps us understand what our culture is looking for. Our culture is looking for satisfaction, looking for significance, and looking for security. It wants to feel safe. It wants to feel significant, be somebody. I can't move anywhere. I think now if you say, I'm not the Statue of Liberty, but I won't move, all right? It wants to be somebody, so we're looking for significance, and we want to be satisfied. We want to be fulfilled. And that's this is ridiculous. Tell you what. Who's in charge? Get over there. Is this thing on? Oh, good. There's a switch. There we go. Beautiful. How's that? Okay. You might want to get hit in the head with it. Well, Black Friday really helps us understand the nature of our culture. It wants stuff to satisfy us. It wants us to feel safe. You ought to read, every morning I get up, I have my little bowl of yogurt and blueberries and my cup of... Just keep talking. My wife always said that, too. and my blueberries and my cup of coffee. I listen to this idiot sports show, but in the meantime, I also look on my iPhone and I get USA Today. And it's all these little quick things, you know, maybe two or three paragraphs of everything that's going on in our country and in the world. And every day, inevitably, there's something about kids not feeling safe. And this is what our culture is. It's got a lot of stuff. But nobody has any peace inside, no sense of security. Black Friday is all about, I need stuff to feel good, and I want to be significant, so we're reading about kids in school. I'll just give you this one little thing. I was talking to a guy that I went to grade school with just this weekend, and we're from the same hometown, and he was telling me that there's a friend of his who was working with the police department in that town. And it's a town of about maybe 15,000 at the most. And he was going to a seminar with the police department, and this cop comes in with this great big bag, and he starts pulling out what's in that bag. He's pulling out guns. Gun after 36 of them. He says, this is what we've collected from middle school students this year. That's incredible. I mean, that's what's going on in our culture. And the key is, you know, how we raise a child, how do we be people that are satisfied? How do we be people that feel significant, and how do we feel secure? You know, as I was thinking about that, I was thinking about Mary, you know, the mother of our Lord. Christmas is all about, ultimately, Jesus Christ. But God uses human beings, fragile, frail pieces of ultimately dust, to bring forth his great promises and ultimately the birth of the Savior. And when Mary found out that she was pregnant, you know, you can imagine her, and this is a 14, 15, 16-year-old girl. This is not a 29-year-old woman. This is a young girl. And this young girl has to now go and tell her mom and dad that she's pregnant. She has to tell them, yes, I saw an angel. And this angel spoke to me. Now, what's neat is, yeah, I'm sure if your child came to you and said that, you would ask a few questions. But Mary's mom and dad, they were pretty unique, and I'll talk about them in just a second. But Mary had a relative, probably a little older, maybe a cousin, maybe an aunt. We're going to call her Aunt Elizabeth. And an angel had come to Aunt Elizabeth's husband only a couple of months before, and said, you two guys, as old as you are, you're going to have a child. And this child is going to be the forerunner of the Messiah. That's the bottom line. And so you can imagine, it says that when Mary heard from the angel, it says she immediately got up and hurried to a town in the hill country of Judah, where she went to talk to Elizabeth. So she could confirm that she wasn't having a dream, that this reality of being pregnant uniquely was a real thing. And it's really neat, the little story just before what we want to talk about. So Mary is learning that what has happened to her, this conception of this child apart from having a husband, which she was engaged, but she didn't have a husband yet. And her aunt, well, we'll call her Aunt Elizabeth, she and Zacharias, in their old age, were able to have a child. And God is working in both places at the same time. Mary goes and she gets this confirmed that this is going to happen. God really did speak to me through this angel. And I haven't felt anything yet, but it's going to probably happen. And I'm going to trust the Lord. And when she gets that confirmation from her aunt, because her aunt says this, "Blessed is the one who has believed that what the Lord has said to her will be accomplished." Here's this Elizabeth, old age. She's trusted the Lord that what the Lord said through her husband, they're going to have a child. That's okay. You got a husband and a wife. But now we got this young girl who has claimed that an angel has come along, and her aunt is confirming to her, listen, you have the mind of faith, and God is going to use you. And when that happens, Mary bursts into this song. It's a psalm. It's a song. But I want to read it to you, and I want to camp on one half of one verse. Okay? Here we go. Mary said this, "My soul praises the Lord. My spirit rejoices in God my Savior, for he has been mindful of the humble status of his servant. From now on, all generations will call me blessed, and for the Mighty One has done great things for me. Holy is his name." And then she keeps going, not talking about herself, but she says this, "His mercy extends to all those who fear him. From generation to generation, he has performed mighty deeds with his arm. He has scattered those who are proud in their innermost thoughts. He has brought down rulers from their throne. He has lifted up the humble. He has filled the hungry with good things. He has sent away the rich empty. He has helped his servant Israel, remembering to be merciful to Abraham and his descendants forever, even as he said to our fathers." Mary stayed with her Aunt Elizabeth till either just before John the Baptist was born, or maybe even just after the birth. So Mary, after a number of months, is confirmed. She knows that something unique is going to happen with her. And she says, "From now on, all generations will call me blessed." Now, there's a couple of words in the New Testament that are the word blessed. One of the words is this one here. And it really means truly happy. I mean, Mary says all generations and everywhere and every part of the world, they're going to call me blessed or a truly happy woman. Let's think about it for a moment. I wonder how happy she was when she knew she had to go and tell mom and dad. How do you do that? Particularly when you say to your folks, an angel showed up. Uh-huh. Okay. But, you know, God provided for her, didn't he? Because when she went to Elizabeth, and her folks knew Aunt Elizabeth and Uncle Zechariah, they knew them. And they were able to confirm and understand before she even went, oh, okay, Elizabeth, you can go and you can go be your aunt. Go ahead. It'll help you out. So she goes up there, and she spends 3 months. And so now she's 3 months pregnant. She comes back down to Nazareth, the city where she was. And when this happens, she probably gets married to Joseph by this time. And so just about a month before she's going to have this baby, Joe comes home and says, listen, we got to move from here to a city near Bethlehem. I think the distance is about 60 miles. Now you can imagine. Here she is, probably 7.5 to 8 months pregnant. They've got to go from this city up here down to this city down here. Now, people, I know, I don't think he was able to call Uber. I just didn't have the opportunity. And she probably got maybe on a donkey, with luck maybe, a one-humper camel, maybe a two-humper. Or either that, or maybe she was in a wagon. I don't know how they got there. It was just a long haul. And for those of you who have had the blessedness of pregnancy, you can imagine how she felt going down there. It was a rough, rugged time. I wonder how many times she said to Joseph, "Why are we doing this?" I wonder how many times she said to the Lord, "Now? Look at me, Lord." For life for her, we would not say, "People will call me blessed." Not in this condition. Now, you know the story. They get down there to Bethlehem, and of course, there's no room for them in the inn. Probably what it was a two-story place, and there's a room up top, and then there's a stable down below. And that's probably where, or possibly where, she had this baby. Then she puts him where? In a feeding trough. This is the Savior of the world, opened up to all the diseases floating around a stable. Folks, I'm a city fella, a little town, but I saw my first pig when I was 22. And it was really an experience. And then when I first moved up here, my wife and I had a chance to go to one of my students' homes, and it's right on a lake, and they raised pigs. I couldn't believe it. From 22, leasing my first pig, to now 32, and getting to touch one. Those things stink. They just do. And that was just the start of things. And you can imagine out there. Now, they wouldn't have pigs in Jerusalem because you can't have a ham and bacon sandwich. But the fact is, there's all that stuff out there. And there's no EMS. There's no NICU if something goes wrong. This is just out in the open to everybody and to everything. And in the process, this is the life of faith. She knew what God had commissioned her to do. She didn't know how they were going to make it. They were poor as church mice. She says, "The Lord has mindful of my humble estate." These two had nothing. They didn't have two pennies to rub together. And God brings this baby, and the baby is healthy. You know that people come to worship him. And a couple of months later, where they're still in Bethlehem, those wise men show up. And those wise men come bringing what? Incense, gold, and myrrh. Pretty wealthy stuff. That's because a couple of days later, Joseph hears, that this king, Herod, about 5 miles away, wants to kill every baby under 2 years old, every male baby under 2 years old. Because he has heard from the wise men that we want to go visit this new king of Israel that has just been born. And he ascertains from the religious leaders, where is the new king of Israel supposed to be born? Oh, Bethlehem. So King Herod gets his men. He's heading toward Bethlehem. And an angel comes and says to Joseph, "You've got to get out of Dodge City." And so they have to go to Egypt. They're poor as church mice, except those guys that had just showed up brought them gold, incense, and myrrh. Stuff for a king. But stuff that they would use to do what? Sustain them all the way down to Egypt. I don't know how long they stayed in this foreign country, but then all the way back. And, of course, I'm sure on the way back they were going to go from Egypt up to a place called Nazareth again. But I'm sure on the way back, they wanted to stop and see their relatives in Bethlehem. But if you'll remember, after they left, those soldiers came in and killed all the males under 2 years old. I wonder how many moms and dads realized it was this baby and this man and woman that were the cause of the death of their son. I wonder how rugged it was to go back in there as a man and woman. I bet they didn't last long. And then they had to go up to Jerusalem. And remember, she's got this in the back of her head. For all generations are going to call me blessed. This was not a blessed time. This was a really rough time. I'm sure there were moments of complaint. The only perfect person in the whole picture is Jesus. Adam and Eve, well, they may as well have been, but it's Joseph and Mary are normal people. Are they going to grinch at each other? Uh-huh. Did I grinch at Tammy? Yes. And I'm glad she's not here because she would have told you so. The fact of the matter is, people, these are normal human beings, the rugged things of life. But what makes Mary unique in all of this is her constant faith in what God has said. That's the key, is being a woman of faith in the midst of a chaotic time and culture. What God wants to do is he really wants us to develop this kind of faith. Their life was tough and painful. And we, again, all those words, all generations will call me blessed. And when you look back at the early years of the Lord, I mean, the time that from when he was born till the time he came to his ministry, those were rough. They were still rough times. The fact that they went back to Nazareth, that whole area knew she had a baby out of wedlock. At least that's how they saw it. 35 years later, when the Lord is doing his ministry, and he's in confrontation with the Pharisees. John chapter 8. They were going back and forth at it, the Pharisees and the Lord. And finally the Pharisees say, we weren't born of fornication. Implication, you were. How do you have the right to tell us about who God is and what he's like? That must have been an awful burden for Mary all those years. And yet she says, all generations, there's going to be people from all generations who will call me blessed, truly happy. This is a woman who learned about faith from the beginning of her life. And she was to use that all the way even to the crucifixion. I'm sure when she saw her son on that cross, you mean I did all of this for that? But what brought her joy that would be eternal? People, there's an empty tomb in Jerusalem. That empty tomb was the final confirmation for Mary that what she did, what she believed at that night when that angel came to her, and that angel said, you know, you're going to have a child. And she's going to look back at all those years and realize God has been faithful every step of the way. Joseph, I'm sorry I grinched at you. Mary, I'm sorry I grinched back. One of those things confirms all the things that God had said to her. Not immediately necessarily, but he will confirm it finally at the end. The resurrection for you and me is the greatest yes on God's promises, just as it was for Mary. Well, my question is, where did Mary get this faith from? This isn't something that just happened to her in the middle of the night and she grew from there. I really believe there's a statement in verse 50 of that song in chapter 1. It says this, his mercy extends to those who fear him from generation to generation. In that little song of hers, that she quotes this, and she quotes this from Psalm 103. Psalm 103 to Psalm 107. There are five psalms there that fit together, and they link to each other. And they're the history of Israel. And, you know, these people didn't have Bibles. These people were poor as church mice, as I said before. What happened? I really think Mary learned and had an early faith because of her mom and her dad. Had a mom and dad who taught her the history of Israel through those psalms, because that's how they did a lot of things. They memorized most of this stuff. And they listened to the psalms, and for her, she realized that God himself was caring for her all the way, and he would do it. And she learned that because her mom and dad made her memorize it, struggled with her through the memory work, but that's where she got the faith that she had, so that when the Lord did come, when the angel did come to her, she was ready to trust him. One more thing is at the end of that song, talks about how God's faithfulness has been to Abraham and his descendants forever. She realized, she goes back to those moments of Abraham and Sarah and how God worked through their barrenness. And God brought forth that child, Isaac, who would be the heir of the promises. And that's passed all the way down for 2,000 years to Mary. And Mary's mom and dad passed it on to her. What I'm trying to get across here, girls, is this. Black Friday is a microcosm of a culture devoid of satisfaction, significance, and security. We all have those passions. We all want to feel significant. We want to feel secure in a world that just isn't. You send your kids to school today, and you send them to a very insecure place. We want to have satisfaction, significance, security. We can only find it in a relationship with Christ. That's what Mary did. She said, all people will call me blessed. The only way of true blessing is not at the stores. It's not Black Friday. The only way of true blessing is in a relationship for us with Jesus Christ. For Mary, it was in a relationship with the God of the universe. It's the only place where true blessing is found. Let me encourage you. This Christmas, I want you to make a commitment to the Lord to be like the mother of the Lord. When Mary confronted and asked Elizabeth, Aunt Elizabeth, and told her about what had happened, Aunt Elizabeth says this, blessed, truly happy, is the one who has believed that which the Lord has said to her would be accomplished. She recognizes, this is Aunt Elizabeth, much older than Mary, but she recognizes that Mary and what she has said and what God is going to do, it will be a blessing in the end. Just keep going. And that's what they had to do. Joseph and Mary kept trusting the Lord, and all the way God was there to meet it. Not easy, but God is faithful. And what I trust you to do, in the midst of this chaotic culture, to looking for satisfaction, significance, and security, you'd build your faith upon the Word of God and His promises, and transfer that to your children, if you have children, to your spouse, if you have a spouse, and to your friends. And I know all of you have friends. And the world is looking for men and women who will trust God alone and allow Him to provide the deliverance all the way to when He calls you home. It's the faithfulness of God to His promises that drove Mary and Joseph. It's the faithfulness of God to His promises that will drive you. And when you get to the end, you'll look back and say, He was faithful. He was faithful. He was faithful. Let's pray together. Lord Jesus, thank You so much for these women. Thank You for what they do here every week, that they look at Your Word. You are the eternal God. Therefore, that is Your eternal Word. In every aspect, every word belongs to You and is from You and is a gift to us. Lord, I thank You for these women. I do pray that they would take on the attitude of Mary, that life will find them in the end blessed, enriched because of the person of Jesus Christ, the one whom they have trusted and has met their need to give them satisfaction in life that comes through nothing but a relationship with You. To give them significance because they are child of God. And nothing could be better. And to find security only in You. And we thank You for this time together now. In the matchless name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.